Thursday, February 27th, 1986. The preacher is Reverend Daniel Percorney. The sermon text is taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 23. The sermon theme is, When an ear is not an ear.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The verse for this sermon is, If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. First of all, before I begin, I would like to explain what happened to our choir. It happened that at our Lutheran Church for the Deaf this day, one of the members had died, and there is a funeral at exactly the time that we are meeting here. So the people from the church were obligated to go there, and they regret very much that they could not be with us today. At first, I was a little bit shocked when I got that piece of paper that shows when I have responsibilities to preach in this auditorium. Because I was assigned to work with one of our fourth year students who himself is deaf. And my text was, If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he can't. But my first impression was quickly removed when I began to earnestly study the word that I had to use for the basis of the sermon this morning. Because the scriptures, when you study the word hear and ears, shows very clearly that only once in a blue moon, so to speak, do the words refer to the actual organ of hearing in the body of a person. Most often it's talking about a spiritual hearing and understanding and indeed an obedience on the part of the person that hears. Oh, that the hearer would receive in faith the knowledge of the will of God and respond in obedience to it. God reveals his will in the scriptures. There's nothing surprising about that. And he does that in the context of hearing, that people would hear his will. Notice the very central verse of the Jewish religion. Hear, O Israel. And what then follows? It is the will of God, the Ten Commandments, and so forth and so on. That same idea of our paying attention to the will of God is transported into the New Testament when we stand at the river and see Jesus getting baptized. And there God says, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Strange how often that word hear is linked to God's revelation of his will for people. Strange also how often in the scriptures the people cannot hear it. Oh, that was true, actually, that the people cannot hear it. So often what we find in the scriptures is that the people will not hear it. There's a difference, you know. One involves an inability. The other one involves a rebellion. And it is that we find so often among the people who are described to us in the scriptures as not hearing the word of God. It is a rebellion. It is a deliberate attempt to avoid listening to the voice of God. And we are no different. So many times before the answer is given or the explanation is finished, we already have our challenge in mind to raise our hand or interrupt and give our idea in just the normal conversations of life. Someone has once said that a conversation has been reduced down to each person waiting to say what he wants to say without listening to what the other person has already said. And so it becomes almost like a daily acting through a play where we stand in the wings, waiting to get on the stage, say our piece, ignoring those around us, then trot off while the other person says his, and so it goes. And you hear the complaints of lack of communication, lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, so forth and so on. And why? Because it's not possible to hear? No. Because we refuse to hear. We don't want to hear so many times what people around us would say, and we don't want to hear so many times what God would have us to say. And we don't want to hear, lest in hearing and understanding we might end up doing something that we don't want to do. That's really the problem. And that's what is addressed here, because the verses before my text talk about the lamp, and you don't go like that. Well, therein is a picture of the person that has indeed heard but said, I don't like that. I will do my will and not his. So this text is not only an invitation for us to hear, but an invitation for us to obey. To obey God, his will, and to obey in our daily lives what he would have us to do. And it's not simple, and we often fail. Now, failure is not new to people, is it? And we're going to find out how new it may be to some of you in a few days, I suppose. On the other hand, success also is possible, although it's too late to do much about it now. At this stage of the game, the question still zeroes in on what do we hear, how do we hear, and how do we change our habits of hearing? And there, too, the scriptures are very interesting, because even in the psalm that we read this morning, we heard about the idols. And the strange thing about idols is that most of them have ears. If I may make a pun, most of them have tin ears. And they cannot hear. What is an idol made out of stone or metal, but nothing, no God? And if you pray to one, it doesn't hear. And it doesn't make any difference what the name of your idol is. It could be your own success, your own life, your own strivings, your own money, your own insurance, you name it. When it comes time to pray to it, it's deaf, totally deaf. And it cannot hear. But the scriptures tell us, not so our God. He has ears that work. He hears. And what does he hear? Well, he hears when people say, Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. That weekly ritual that we go through that links us to all of the thousands of years of the history of the children of Israel, crying out to God for the Messiah, and God says, I have heard your groanings, and I will help you. I will reveal to you, and you will hear that I have heard. And in my hearing, I have also solved. I have solved with the sending of my Son into the world, there to be born like you, with bodies like you, with ears like you, who goes to a cross and there suffers and dies for you. And that is the key. That is the revelation of the mystery of God revealed. That God's will, spoken in the great Shema here, the law, is also the will of God that we would hear the gospel. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all people. And then, by that gift, we have opened up for us new life, new hearing, and we can understand, know, believe, and yes, obey. Obey. We can obey in service to Him. We can obey in studying His Word and speaking that Word among others. We can obey in rejoicing and praising His holy name. We can obey, because we have heard. I don't want to seem cute, but I decided that one of the best ways that I could close this sermon this morning was with an acrostic. And like any acrostic, it's not perfect, but maybe it'll work. It's an acrostic on the word ear. E. What is it that we hear in our ears? Is it not the evangel? Is it not the gospel? That good news that Jesus Christ indeed ushers in the kingdom of God, as he explains in this chapter. We hear the evangel. And A, so we attend. That's the second Spirit-given key, that we might attend and listen, that it doesn't go, as deaf people say, but gets inside to the heart and the mind and the soul. So we hear the evangel, and we A, attend. And then there's that R. The R is the response, isn't it? The response of the sacrifice of service, that we are all servants of Him who called us to hear His evangel. We respond, then comes the S, in service. Ears. Let him who has ears, let him hear. Amen.